I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're continuing our visit to Chicago, where we're attending the Unity Conference of Journalists of Color and checking out the hotspots. But that won't stop us from making our weekly visit to the barbershop, where the guys talk about what's in the news and what's on their minds. Sitting in the chairs this week are freelance writer Jimmy Israel, media executive Nick Charles, syndicated columnist Ruben Navarrete, and media critic Eric Deggans. They are all getting their shape up in Chi-Town. I may jump in here or there, but for now, take it away, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. Fellas, what's up? Welcome to the shop, live from WBEZ in Chi-Town.
What's up, Jimmy?
Hey, how you doing? Good, man. Good, great.
You know what? Senator Barack Obama decides to address the myriad of journalists here gathered at Unity here. In Chicago, but Senator John McCain is absent. Now, wait a second. Nick, what is Unity exactly, for those of us who don't know?
Unity is used to be every five-year gathering of all the ethnic journalist organizations, the AAJA, which is Asian American Journalists Association, Native American Journalists Association, Hispanic Journalists, and the National Association of Black Journalists. The first one, I think, was in New Seattle in 1999, and then they had one in 2004 and decided to have them now in election years.
Right.
So now instead of having it next year, 2009, they have it in 2008 in Chicago.
One correction, the first one was in Atlanta.
Atlanta, you're right.
Thanks for that, Diggy. Mm-hmm.
No problem, man.
Yo, you know what, Diggy? George Bush and John Kerry famously visited Unity. What's up with your boy McCain, man? What's up with that?
Why is he my boy? Let's correct that right now.
You look like the McCain type.
Ouch. Because I came in with a tie?
And your hair is combed.
Right.
Well,
right.
Here's my theory. McCain's been having a bad week, number one. It sort of came out that CBS News kind of doctored this interview that he did with Katie Couric to make him look better. He screwed up a lot of things during this interview, and they spliced together responses from other questions to make him look coherent. And I think maybe they were afraid to bring him before a crew of journalists that would not let him get away with that. And, you know, the Unity tried hard to offer him a spot. They gave him any day he wanted, and he couldn't work out the scheduling. That's a strange thing.
That is weird. I don't know if I'm buying that it's a dodge, though, the R. What do you think about that?
That's not a dodge, and I'll tell you why. Because to his credit, when John McCain went to the NAACP, he took questions from the audience.
Right.
And when he went to the National Council of La Raza, he took questions from the audience. Barack Obama spoke to both those groups and did not take questions from the audience. You know why? Because people are beginning to figure out that while Obama, while a gifted orator from microphone and with teleprompter, sometimes says things in Q&A off the cuff that sometimes come back to haunt him, even before friendly audiences. So give McCain credit for taking questions. I don't think he was afraid. I do think he acted childishly because I think that he took exception to the fact that we accommodated Barack Obama's schedule and moved off. Obama was supposed to speak on Thursday. We're now going to hear from him on Sunday. And I think that the McCain folks got their nose all bent out of shape because they felt like, well, why don't you accommodate our schedule? Why are you bending over back for Obama? I have an easy answer, because McCain was next door in Ohio campaigning and Barack Obama was halfway around the world in Berlin.
Right.
Well so, again, though, I got to say, man, I've talked to
so
people
childish,
from Unity.
Yes. Cowardly, no.
They offered him many days.
Well, I understand
they were going to accommodate.
Cowardly, no, but childish, yes.
Can I throw in something here? I think strategically this was an issue on the generational piece, because I know a lot of people would think of this as an ethnic issue, like, well, you know, why doesn't he want to talk to the journalists of color? I think, to me, it's a bigger issue on the fact that that I think it once again shows that he seems to not understand the demographics of the country and the way in which the younger voter is rising. I mean, you have a lot of bloggers here. You have a lot of people who are, you know, people think it isn't just people from mainstream media who are here. You've got a lot of people who are kind of rising, right, who are involved in new media. Mm-hmm. And his campaign has been famously off the mark in addressing these voters.
Right.
And I think a lot of the people's political identities when they're younger are less well-formed, they're less entrenched, they're less connected to the existing sort of political hierarchies. And this is a chance to talk to those folks. Maybe they're not going to dig you this time around, but maybe 4 years from now, maybe if there's another, you know what I mean? At least do that as service to your party. And I guess I feel that it sort of shows once again that he seems to be writing off not just minorities, because he's clearly not writing off minorities. He spoke, as you mentioned, to the NAACP, LULAC, La Raza. But I think that he doesn't seem to understand that these younger voters are out there and are interested in hearing what he has to say, even if they're not jumping up and down applauding for him.
Well, my thing is, you have a worst week ever with the whole CBS thing and New York Times not publishing your op-ed.
Right.
And then you don't show up where you have an opportunity. You're complaining all week about Barack Obama and the love affair with the media. And here you have an opportunity before all this media to come and state a case. And I think if you're not going to take this opportunity, then how serious are you in bridging that gap that you say exists between yourself and Barack Obama when it comes to the media?
You know what? For me, I think he's not coming because he heard that Bush got heckled here in 2004 famously in front of a live studio audience, and that was a bad look all around. But you know,
No. Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Hard to believe.
Right. Well, keep
a bunch of people of color acting like people of color instead of like acting like journalists.
Easy.
Wait a minute. Let's keep that roll. Hold on.
Let's keep it moving. Now, Senator Barack Obama's road game nowadays is better than Senator John McCain's home game, as Obama's trip abroad is dominating the news. Now, Nick, does Obama's swagger abroad really hit McCain that hard, or is it just a photo op?
Well, I think it hit McCain's hard because McCain is like the focus is not on him. It takes him off message. You can't, you know, he was in state giving a speech the other day, and instead of being on message about the economy, he's talking about the media and Obama. So he's kind of rattled on that end. Obama goes over there because he wants to, you know, show some heft and say, like, okay, I have some chops. And basically everybody over there, particularly in Europe and to some extent in the Middle East, they're kind of making nice because they realize whether or not they like the guy, this guy may be the next president of the United States, and we have to do business with him. Mm. Now, the poll numbers in these countries, some of these countries, England, France, Spain, show that the majority of people would vote for Obama and not for McCain.
Right.
That should have no effect on what Americans think. As a matter of fact, it could be a backlash if you say, well, if they like him, we shouldn't like him.
Right. Yeah, USA Today is reporting that although Obama is ahead, McCain is gaining ground. Diggy, how do you read that, man? I mean, because it should be the opposite. I mean, you got your boy, he's all over TV. I mean, Obama's like, you know, He's like 50 Cent was back in the day. He's everywhere, you know.
he's flicking McCain off his shoulder, right?
I mean, so you would think it would be the exact opposite. What's happening?
Well, you would think, but you know, again, these national polls are notoriously unreliable. Number one, and what we know is that the country is pretty divided on a lot of these issues, and I think more even-handed than some of these early polls would suggest. But you have no idea what people are going to do when they get in the voting booth. One of the things I wanted to say about the trip abroad is that, Barack not only got a lot of love from the people in those countries, he got a lot of love from the networks. His people reached out and made sure that all the anchors from the major networks went over there and got exclusive interviews with him to make sure that there would be a huge load of press coverage when he went over there. When McCain went over, they cut some deal where CBS News would have the exclusive. So Barack Obama looks much more presidential because when he makes this trip, everybody pays attention. That to me just speaks to the effectiveness of the campaigns.
I just have to jump in for just a second just to say, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're having our weekly visit to the barbershop in Chicago with Jimmy Israel, Nick Charles, Ruben Navarrete, and Eric Deggans. Back to you, Jimmy.
Thanks, Michelle. You know what? Obama's foreign policy is kind of light, man. And for me, I'm reading it's like he just needs some camera time to say,
right,
well, I have been overseas. I've been past Detroit. You know, that's how I'm reading.
Right.
I think he's trying to get some credit.
Right. Wait, hold up. How is this any different than John McCain touring the Gulf-affected regions earlier this year? I mean, the fact is he lives in the United States. I mean, presumably he could have gone to Alabama, Mississippi, New Orleans
before.
McCain's certified. You know, McCain's creds.
Did you say certified or certifiable?
Ruben, get some sense going.
Go ahead.
First of all, I think the Obama trip was a victory for Obama. Absolutely. I mean, you look at the pictures coming out of Berlin with Obama speaking before 200,000, 300,000 people, all the sea of Germans, of white faces, needless to say, in Germany, people applauding him, young people, as Michelle said earlier, you know, definitely his power base. That looks presidential. That undercuts John McCain where it hurts. It hits him where it hurts because McCain is out there saying, if nothing else, I'm strong on foreign policy. I'm respected around the world. I'm sorry. I don't think John McCain could get that kind of reception in Berlin, obviously. And so this really hit McCain where it hurts.
But what about this poll from the Wall Street Journal that says that
we're even?
Not just that they're even, but that more, by a large margin, more Americans think that John McCain is closer to them on values and
for
background.
Sure. Oh, for sure.
Because I'm not sure it is about issues.
I think this. I before I got to Chicago, I spent 3 or 4 days in Indianapolis. It's only, you know, a few hours down the way, but it is a different world in Indiana and in Indianapolis. And I think in places in the heartland, in the middle, not just in the red states, but in very conservative areas, there's a lot of distrust about Barack Obama. They don't think he's a real American. There's a lot of bigotry wrapped up in that and prejudice. The New Yorker cover, the reason I went off on that New Yorker cover is because, you know, this isn't just New Yorkers who are seeing that cover. That stuff is, like, seen as fact in the Midwest and elsewhere. A lot of white voters, I think, distrust Barack Obama. That's where the values things come from. But lastly, on Iraq, check out what Barack Obama is doing lately. He is ticking off the MoveOn.org fanatics, okay? The nuts in the Netroots are not happy with Barack Obama because he is sounding a lot more like John McCain on Iraq. He's talking about 16 months as a pullout. He's not talking about immediate. And he's saying that we may have to leave troops there overall. And then he's saying that he's going to sit down after he sat down with Petraeus. He's going to say, you know, I'm still going to listen to what the generals have to say. Forget the consistency argument. If you are hardcore against the war, okay, and you thought Obama was with you, you're feeling betrayed right now. Mm. And I think that Obama's doing the very shrewd thing and the smart thing, which is if you're going to do foreign policy, you got to do it like a grown-up. You can't surrender our foreign policy agenda to MoveOn.org.
Right.
But understand what's going on here. He's moving to the right on foreign policy, and I think it's a good thing, but a lot of folks disagree.
Yeah, speaking of internet buzz, your boy rapper Nas protests the way Fox News covers the Obama campaign. Now, for those of you that don't know about Nas, Nasir Jones was just another hot MC before he was discovered and signed to Sony Columbia's by MC Search back in the 90s. He's a multi-platinum artist, and he's considered one of the best MCs in the game. And his new album just happened to drop a few weeks ago. Does anybody else read this? Not Nas has never been particularly political in the past. Does anybody else read this as just kind of a publicity stunt?
And I think he's been political in the past, but I do see it's a publicity stunt, particularly when you have an album, which title you can't even use on the air.
Right.
And now it's the untitled album.
Right.
And you have
what's the title? I'm trying to keep my license.
It's the N-word.
It was supposed to be the N-word.
With an H at the end.
But he backed down at the last minute.
And he backed down, but he changed it to the untitled. And then you have a song on the album called Sly Fox, which is a real broadside against Fox News and people like Fox News in the way they do it.
Now, who contributed to that album? Was that Jesse Jackson?
I think it's Jesse Jackson was on that.
Okay, but why artists aren't allowed to have opinions? Why not? Nobody dogged out Bruce Springsteen for having opinions.
I agree with Nas that, you know, he should have an opinion. I think, you know, going after Fox is an easy target, though.
Right.
Because all of us go after Fox.
And Bruce Springsteen has been consistently out there. You know, whereas Nas, he's not been out there picking it for nobody. You know, he's been out there rocking gold chains.
He had an awakening.
He had
an awakening.
Yeah, I know the awakening epiphany. He had. He had to move some albums. That's his awakening.
But let me back up on that, because the fact is, But I have to back up on that. What I said, I have to edit that, because the fact is, Bruce Springsteen, people do criticize him when he speaks out.
I remember
when he talked about the police shooting in New York, that a lot of people said, you know, stick to the guitar. So I think that isn't people. I don't know. People have very mixed feelings about artists.
Yeah.
One, and they criticize them for not talking, and then when they do, they're mad at them.
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah,
right.
there's some people who don't necessarily want their artists telling them how to think, but you know, you gotta love somebody who stands up for what they believe, no matter when they.
Dixie chicks, baby.
You know what? Speaking of women, women are mixing it up in the WNBA. As players from the Los Angeles Sparks and Detroit Shocks get suspended for fighting.
Cat fight.
Wait. You didn't say cat fight, did you?
Cat fight.
So sexist.
Now,
that is so sexist.
Well, Michelle.
WNBA.
Why is it a cat fight? Is it a dog fight when the men in the NBA fight?
Well, yes.
it's the funny thing you're talking about. Brawl in the WNBA, and you have the two most marketable players not named Diana Taurasi involved,
right.
Lisa Leslie and Candace Parker, mm-hmm. who's a rookie. Now, it was initiated by a woman called Planet Pearson, who no one will ever hear from or never know who she was.
Right.
And what makes it hyped is because of the coaches. Because here you have Bill Laimbeer and Rick Mahorn, who were known to mix it up when they played and have transferred their personality to their team. Detroit Shock have been playing like this for a long time, and now they run up against a player like Candace Parker, who got upset because she's like, look, I'm playing the game. Why are you guys pushing me, elbowing me, going out of the way to body check me? That's basically what's, you know, initiated the whole brawl at the end. Now,
I'm kind of disappointed. Let me tell you this, because I mean, Ruben, maybe help me out here, because you know, as a parent, I like having some place that I could take my kids to watch sports where I don't have to worry about people throwing hands.
Wow.
If it's not boxing, okay? If I'm going to pay for a boxing match, I'm going to go. If I want to see basketball, I need to see people throwing hands. Am I just naive here?
No, I mean, it happens in hockey. It happens in baseball. It happens in football. There are brawls all the time in these high adrenaline sports, but you know, I'm with you. It'd be nice to get to a place where that's not happening. I'll tell you what, though. Anybody, the guys probably, as Jimmy says, co-signing this. If you see a guy's going at it with a fight, you draw to the fight. You run to the fight.
Right.
You see women going at it, I run the other way.
Really?
Because they play hard.
Yeah, women, that's true. That's
women
true.
Fight.
That's true.
Women well, fight
women,
hard.
Yeah, women grease play, up.
I run the other way to
out.
Get a better view. Maybe it's just me.
No, women play.
But I will say, you know, if you want to watch good basketball, then watch college, man.
Okay,
I'm a college person. Anyway.
On the good basketball tip now, as bad as it is to say, will this help WNBA ratings?
Yes, it will.
Nick?
Yes, it will. Because, in fact, women players, Ruben, Friedman was saying, women play to win. Women don't play to look pretty, look good, be look cool for the first or the second row, or the girl in the second level. They play hard. But people don't, WNBA's under the radar right now. This is going to raise it above the radar.
You know what's sad is that Jimmy just, bought a season pass because of it. So I hate to say it, but you know what I'm saying? I saw the receipt.
Mine's on order. Mine's on order.
Jimmy Israel is a freelance journalist who writes for TheRoot.com and TV One Online. Ruben Navarrete writes for the San Diego Union Tribune and CNN.com. Nick Charles is vice president of digital content for BET.com. And Eric Deggans is media critic for the St. Petersburg Times. They were kind enough to break away from the Unity Convention to join us here at WBEZ Chicago Public Radio. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yep, yep.